This episode of the OrthoBullets podcast will go over the topic of TKA prosthesis design from the Recon section on orthobullets.com. TKA prosthesis design includes unconstrained, constrained, and fixed versus mobile bearings. Unconstrained designs include posterior cruciate retaining or CR designs and posterior cruciate substituting or PS designs. Constrained designs include non-hinged or hinged designs. Now, let's quickly talk about the history of TKA prosthesis design. In the 19th century, interposition of soft tissues for reconstruction of the articular surfaces was used. In the 1950s, Waldius designed the first hinged knee replacement. Then in 1958, McIntosh and McKeever introduced the acrylic tibial plateau prosthesis to correct deformity. In the 1960s, Gunston introduced the first cemented surface arthroplasty of the knee joint. In 1970, Guepard developed a new hinged prosthesis based on the design by Waldius that increased motion and decreased bone loss. In around 1973, the total condylar prosthesis was introduced, which was first to resurface all three compartments. This was a PCL sacrificing design. Three important concepts in TKA prosthetic design include femoral rollback, constraint, and modularity. Femoral rollback is defined as the posterior translation of the femur with progressive flexion. The importance of femoral rollback is that it improves quadriceps function and the range of knee flexion by preventing posterior impingement during deep flexion. With respect to biomechanics, rollback in the native knee is controlled by the ACL and PCL. As far as design implications, both PCL retaining and PCL substituting designs allow for femoral rollback. In PCL retaining knees, the native PCL promotes posterior displacement of the femoral condyles, similar to a native knee. In PCL substituting knees, the tibial post contacts the femoral cam, causing posterior displacement of the femur. Constraint is defined as the ability of a prosthesis to provide varus valgus and flexion extension stability in the face of ligamentous laxity or bone loss. The importance of constraint is that in the setting of ligamentous laxity or severe bone loss, standard cruciate retaining or posterior stabilized implants may not provide stability. As far as design implications, in order of least constrained to most constrained, you have the cruciate retaining knees, then posterior stabilized or cruciate substituting knees, then varus valgus constrained or non-hinged knees, and finally a rotating hinged knee. Modularity is defined as the ability to augment a standard prosthesis to balance soft tissues and or restore bone loss. Options include a metal tibial base plate with a modular polyethylene insert. This is more expensive than an all-polyethylene tibial component. A metal tibial base plate with a modular polyethylene insert has an equivalent rate of aseptic loosening compared with an all-polyethylene tibia component. Other options include metal augmentation for bone loss, as well as modular femoral and tibial stems. Advantages of modularity is the ability to customize the implant intraoperatively. Disadvantages include increased rates of osteolysis in modular components, and backside polyethylene wear, which is from micromotion between the tibial base plate and the undersurface of the polyethylene insert that occurs during loading. Now, let's talk about the cruciate retaining design in a bit more detail. This is a minimally constrained prosthesis design that depends on an intact PCL to provide stability and flexion. The indications for cruciate retaining or CR prosthesis design is arthritis with minimal bone loss, minimal soft tissue laxity, and an intact PCL. Other indications include varus deformity of less than 10 degrees and valgus deformity of less than 15 degrees. Radiographs of cruciate retaining designs won't show the box in the central portion of the femoral component as posterior stabilizing knees have. The advantage of a cruciate retaining design is that it avoids tibial post-cam impingement / dislocation that may occur in posterior stabilizing knees. In addition, it more closely resembles normal knee kinematics, however this is controversial. Other advantages include that less distal femur needs to be cut than in a posterior stabilizing knee, and there is improved proprioception with the preservation of the native PCL. Newer poly options can allow for PCL substitution via anterior stabilized or ultra-congruent shapes in cases of PCL insufficiency without loss of functional results. Disadvantages of a cruciate retaining design include that a tight PCL may cause accelerated polyethylene wear, and a loose or ruptured PCL may lead to flexion instability and subluxation. Posterior stabilized prosthesis design is a slightly more constrained prosthesis that requires sacrifice of the PCL. Resection of the PCL increases the flexion gap in relationship to the extension gap, so the posterior aspect must be matched to avoid a flexion-extension mismatch. In posterior stabilized prosthesis design, the femoral component contains a cam that engages the tibial polyethylene post during flexion. In addition, polyethylene inserts are more congruent or deeply dished in a posterior stabilized prosthesis design. Indications for this design include previous patellectomy, which reduces the risk of potential anteroposterior instability in the setting of a weak extensor mechanism. Inflammatory arthritis is another indication, as inflammatory arthritis may lead to late PCL rupture, and a deficient or absent PCL is another indication. Lateral radiographs of posterior stabilized prosthesis design will show the outline of the cam or box in the femoral component. Advantages of a posterior stabilized prosthesis design is that it's easier to balance a knee with an absent PCL. Other advantages are that it arguably has more range of motion and has an easier surgical exposure. Disadvantages include cam jump, and the mechanism of this is with a loose flexion gap or in hyperextension, the cam can rotate over the post and dislocate. The initial treatment is close reduction by performing an anterior drawer maneuver. The final treatment is a revision to address the loose flexion gap. Other disadvantages of a posterior stabilized prosthesis design is tibial post polyethylene wear and patellar clunk syndrome, the mechanism of which is when scar tissue gets caught in the box as the knee moves into extension. Treatment of patellar clunk syndrome is an arthroscopic versus open resection of scar tissue. One other disadvantage of a posterior stabilized prosthesis design is additional bone is cut from the distal femur to balance the extension gap. A constrained non-hinge design is a constrained prosthesis without the axle connecting the tibial and femoral components, hence non-hinged. Constrained non-hinge designs have a large tibial post and deep femoral box, which provide varus valgus stability and rotational stability. Indications for a constrained non-hinge design include LCL attenuation or deficiency, MCL attenuation or deficiency, flexion gap laxity, and or moderate bone loss in the setting of neuropathic arthropathy. Advantages of a constrained non-hinge design is that the prosthesis allows stability in the face of ligamentous or bony deficiency. Disadvantages include more femoral bone resection, which is necessary to accommodate the large box. And aseptic loosening is another disadvantage as a result of increased constraint. A constrained hinge design is the most constrained prosthesis with linked femoral and tibial components, hence hinged. In a constrained hinge design, the tibial bearing rotates around a yoke on the tibial platform, otherwise known as a rotating hinge, which decreases the overall level of constraint. Indications for a constrained hinge design include global ligamentous deficiency, hyperextension instability, which is seen in polio or tumor resections, resection for tumor, and massive bone loss in the setting of a neuropathic joint. Advantages of a constrained hinge design is that the prosthesis allows stability in the face of ligamentous or bony deficiency. Disadvantages include aseptic loosening as a result of increased constraint and the large amount of bone resection that's required. A mobile bearing design is a minimally constrained prosthesis where the polyethylene can rotate on the tibial base plate. The PCL is removed at the time of surgery for this option. Indications include young, active patients, which is a relative indication. Advantages of a mobile bearing design is that it theoretically reduces polyethylene wear as increased contact area reduces pressures placed on the polyethylene. Remember, pressure equals force over area. Disadvantages include bearing spin-out, which occurs as a result of a loose flexion gap, causing the tibia to rotate behind the femur. The initial treatment for this is closed reduction, and the final treatment is revision to address the loose flexion gap. All polyethylene base plate designs are basically a tibial plate that is a solid block of polyethylene as opposed to a metal tray with a poly insert. There are no clear indications for this option. The advantages of this option is basically that it's less expensive and there are technically decreased rates of osteolysis. Disadvantages include loose modular flexibility, and with respect to outcomes, studies show equivalent functional outcomes with decreased cost. Moving on to highly congruent liners, as far as their design, the medial compartment concavity allows the lateral compartment to translate between flexion and extension. This creates a medial pivot. However, there are no clear indications for this option. Advantages of highly congruent liners is that they may better create native knee kinematics. With respect to outcomes, studies show equivalent outcomes and survivorship in short and midterm studies. That's all for this review about TKA prosthesis design. Hopefully that was helpful. Look out for questions related to this topic on this weekend's question session, and hopefully this episode will have prepared you for that review. This is the OrthoBullets podcast, a daily audio review session by OrthoBullets, the free learning and collaboration community for orthopedic surgery education. If you're enjoying the podcast so far, please consider leaving us a 5-star rating and writing us a review on iTunes. It will help us spread the word and increase our discoverability tremendously. Thanks so much, and we'll see you all tomorrow.